If you would turn to your Bibles today to, let's see here. Praise God. I think I might have. I believe it's Romans 8. I somehow knocked off. Thank you, Lord. Let me just give me a second here. Okay, hang on a second. I'm just trying to get this wrong one here. I thought it was all ready. You ever get those times? Well, I'm here. Let's see. I think I'm. Thank you, Jesus. I knocked off my scripture for some reason here. Did you find that scripture back there? Yeah. Romans chapter 10? Yeah. Sorry about that. I just couldn't see it. I'm looking at it. Let's start all over. Let's sing a song. Amen. Let's pray. That's a good place to start. Amen. Father, we want to thank you tonight for the holy written word of God. We thank you that it's anointed. We don't have to pray to anoint it. It's already alive. It's real. It's spiritual. It's food, nourishment. And so we thank you that we receive the word of God with gladness. And anything in the word that we understand, we'll respond to it and say amen. And we'll say it's true. I have that. I thank God. It's mine. And so, Father, I thank you today for the spirit of holiness that's here, the Holy Ghost, that he empowers us to speak and he empowers us to live this life. Thank you for the holy written word of God. That is a word that is stable, strong. When we step into it, when we step and act on the word, it begins to work in our lives. So we thank you for that truth that Jesus said, my word is truth and my word is alive. So I thank you for it. It will empower us to do what we cannot do for ourselves without the word. Thank you for faith tonight. My faith is alive and I'm strong. And I want to thank you for everyone hearing these words. It will come alive unto them and quicken them wherever it needs to be quickening in their bodies and in their minds and their spirits. Turn them to the right or to the left, wherever you lead them, Lord. Lead them out of the situation they may be encountering as difficult, and lead them into a place, as you said that you'd lead us, into a place, an easy place, our place, where we're fully nourished. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. Let's turn to our Bibles, and we're going to look at Romans chapter 10, and verse 11, the Amplified Classical Editions, we're going to look at, classical version. I like the New King James on that as well. It's about the same thing. But my message tonight is how to respond to disappointment. And the series, of course, the series is, how to live life and, to be able to deal with difficult situations. And so, let's go ahead and read Romans 10:11. The scripture says, no man who believes in him, who adheres to and relies on and trusts in him, will ever be put to shame or be disappointed. So we see here that no man who believes in Jesus or in God or believes the word of God, it gives us the word believe, it gives us in a more amplified in the parenthesis there, it says that who adheres to, relies on, trusts in him, will ever, everybody say ever, will ever be disappointed. The Bible says, what the Bible says, I believe is true. And if we rely on the word, if we put the emphasis on the word of God tonight, no matter where we stand in our lives, you will not be disappointed. You might be suffering disappointed. You might have had a disappointment. But God's about to bring you out into a new situation. Praise God. Amen? We ask ourselves the question, what is disappointment? Well, disappointment is a missed appointment in life. We all get discouraged by loss and misses. It's when expectations are shattered. After that, they are shattered. Some people become despondent and they lose hope. When something doesn't come together like you expected, we get despondent. We lose life. We lose the wind in ourselves, so to speak. So disappointments really is really missing the mark in life, missing the real, thrust that you had in your life, or missing something that you wanted to do. Someone said that when two things don't meet, it's a disappointment. It's a misappointment. So we need to have faith in God that God will, even though we've had disappointment and setback, that God can put us back together where we should be. How to react? That's the question. How do we react when you come to a disappointment? How do you respond? Someone said, it's not what happens to you in life, but how you respond to things. It's really about how we see things in life that impacts us the most. Some view life from a dismal perspective, while others see things as a necessity or a change or maybe perhaps even an opportunity when they become disappointed. Something might happen where it doesn't meet your expectation. So then you have a optimistic view on that. You say, hey, maybe this might be an opportunity for me. Brother Hagin used to say a lot, and I used to hear him say this, when things go wrong and it doesn't go right the way you expected, he always said this, it's another opportunity for me to prove the word of God is true. And that's the real crux about it, is what you do and how you begin to respond to it. So disappointment, how do you respond to disappointment in life? We all have them. So don't be a pessimist and see the glass half empty. Rather be the optimist who sees the glass half full. And, the religious leaders in the Jesus day saw Jesus as a way out of their bad situation or their present dilemma. And they wanted immediate freedom from their enemies. And so sometimes, we look at an opportunity or something happens in their life where they feel, this is my time, and maybe when it doesn't happen the way they want it to, things fall apart and you feel bad. You become disappointed. You lose life. So how do we react in life is really the matter of when you have disappointments. Everybody has disappointments. Every one of us has gone through disappointment. If you haven't had any real bad disappointment yet, just get ready. It's not if you'll have them, it's when you will have them. Right? Can you say I've had a disappointment in my life one time or another? Yeah, we've all had them, So none of us here, this message is made just for you. Let's go ahead and read our scripture again. Romans 10:11. The scripture says that no man who believes in him, how many believe in Jesus? You believe in God. How many believe in the word? Yes, amen. He says, anyone who believes in Jesus, here's what it says. If you believe, this is what happens. When you adhere to it, that means when you begin to act on the word, act like the word of God is true. When you rely on the word of God, you can't trust God if you've never trusted the word of God. See, the word of God and God and Jesus and the word, the living, this word here is the same. God is this book here. That's who he is. He put his will here so that we can rely on it. We can depend on it. And so anyone who adheres to and relies on and trust in him, and I'll say this again, it says here, will ever be put to shame or ever be disappointed. It's when you trust the word, when you trust God, then your disappointments are about to be gone, be a history. So as I mentioned, it's not what happens to you in life, but how you respond to life and how you respond to something bad that happens to you that really matters. You ask yourself the question, am I responding appropriately to the problems I'm having today or a major disappointment? I've had to make major checks in my life. I had to make just really, 360s to turn my back on the disappointment and say, you know what, I'm following God no matter what. I've known that people I've been disappointed in people, they've been disappointed in me. They failed me, I failed them, but you know what? I'm going to trust the word. Amen? I'm going to trust God. So don't be the pessimist that sees the glass half empty. Be the optimist who sees it half full. As I mentioned, the religious leader said this when they saw, sometimes somebody might see you and me, as a way out of their problem. Hey, you have the answer for me. You got the money. You know how to do this and that. And so when we put our efforts and believing in somebody and put our hope in somebody, and when they don't come out the way we thought it, or the situation didn't come out, we get despondent in life. And so it makes us a little shy to go ahead and run forward with the things of God. I know I've had different situations in my life where I didn't want to be as strong as I was to certain things in life because I got disappointed. And so I shrunk back, and I didn't take the opportunities that was presented there for me. But since then, I've changed. And here's the religious leaders. In Luke chapter 24, 21, these leaders, these religious people, saw Jesus as a way out of their dilemma. Sometimes we run to the word only just to get out of the trouble for a short time. Just to stop hurting for a little bit. And some people only cry because they've been caught. They only cry because they're hurting because there's a trouble. Well, it's okay to cry. But sometimes you have to understand that you're only crying for yourself. We need to cry because we messed up with God. And let's have the holy, this holy sorrow. I'm not sure how you would explain that, but so let's look at the book of Luke here, 24:21. But we were hoping that it was he who would redeem Israel free. Yes, besides all this, and now it's the third day since these things occurred. Now these people were, Jesus had died, and they were expecting Jesus to be a certain way. And they thought, here's our hero. And a lot of the Toronto Maple Leafs fans are just despondent now. Until the fall comes, But all the Boston Bruins fans are just rooting away, But you know what? We have our hope in God, amen. If there's a God, then the Leafs will rise again, amen. And so sometimes we don't react in life because we see things a little different. So these guys here, he said, besides all this, this is the third day since this occurred. So they were expecting Jesus to become this political, perhaps, leader or somebody that's going to redeem them and free them from their captive. And so they were disappointed in the fact that Jesus didn't do what they thought was going to happen. So their expectation about Jesus made it a very disappointing time in their life. And perhaps you, with your relationship or whatever it is you're going through, maybe a business deal or something like that, you've been disappointed because you lost money, you lost relationship, you lost something that that you hoped that was going to happen. These guys said that we hoped that Jesus was going to help us out over here. There are many kinds of disappointments in life. There are many kinds of things that happen to people. Maybe you've experienced some of them already that I might mention here. There are business people who have lost deals. They've lost money and maybe merchandise, maybe they lost clients, maybe partnerships, or even friends. Because when you do things in life, sometimes you make a bad deal and someone, you know, a friend maybe turned it back on you and said, I'm not trusting you again. There are athletic people in the sports world who have lost opportunities, maybe a big win perhaps because of injuries, they lost their opportunity. Professionals who've lost careers or opportunities, and they've lost the ability to make something big happen for themselves. Just regular people, perhaps, just like you and I, who lost vision and their dream had been shattered or cut short because of they made a bad decision along the way and it come back to bite them on the behind. And we will all find ourselves in some sort of disappointment somewhere down the road, but it's how we respond to it is really the most important thing. The question is going to remain always, what will you do? How will you respond to the disappointment? You can think of many, even right now, of different things that happened in your life. I could think of a lot of things. You know, even following God, sometimes I thought God was going to do this, God was going to do that, and yet it didn't happen the way I thought it was going to happen. Because I only imagined it in my mind. And perhaps you are the same way. You've imagined what God was going to do, but it didn't happen the way you thought it was going to happen. But you know what? There's always hope. There's always next year. Amen. Sometimes you must have to talk to yourself. You ever talk to yourself? I believe many of you are talking to yourself. Sometimes, you know, you're talking to yourself and you don't know it. And you're going through something over and over in your mind. How did that happen? Why did I do that? And I shouldn't have made that decision. I shouldn't have bought that. Maybe I shouldn't have said this to somebody. Or shouldn't have, you know, said, you know, opened myself up to them and so on. The psalmist David asked himself this question when he was down in the dumps. And you know, really, when he was down in the dumps, he should have asked himself, you know, I mean, he had a relationship with God, and he should ask himself, you know, God is with you. And perhaps you and I need to ask ourselves the same thing when we're going through. It's good to remember that God will never leave your side. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5 and 6 says this, New Living Translation says this, don't love money. How many of you love money? Nobody's going to respond now. I mean, you're going to run to the altar right now and cry. Prostrate yourself in front of the altar. So he says, don't love money. Be satisfied with what you have. So he said, well, I'm not satisfied with what I got. I want to have more. Well, God says, be satisfied right now with what you got. That's why you're disappointed. For God said, who said it? God. God said it. He said, I will never fail you. You know that God has never failed you? You might have thought God failed you, but you failed yourself. Or somebody perhaps failed you. He said, I will never abandon you. So we can say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. So I will have no fear. What can mere people do to me? We need to have that kind of confidence, like this man said. David said in Psalm 42:5, the Common English Bible said this, why, I ask myself, are you so depressed? Have you ever asked yourself, why am I so depressed? Why am I so down? Why am I feeling bad here? You know, sometimes, you know, I don't know, it could be subconscious, or you're not aware of your thinking. You're not aware of your thinking, but you might not be aware that you've been thinking a certain way and it's making you feel down. That's why you have to deal with everything in your life. The Bible said, the psalmist said, the one who trusts in God is never afraid of bad news. It's hard to believe that if you don't follow the word of God. The one who trusts in God is never afraid of bad news. And how many of us, you know, can say, ouch, because we've been afraid of bad news. And so, he said, I asked myself, why am I so depressed? Why am I so upset inside? Hope in God. Because, again, I will give him thanks, my saving presence, and my God. Psalm 42:5, New Common English Bible says that. And so I picked different scriptures that say it in a way that I believe that common people would understand. I don't use the King James a lot, only if it's straight English. So I know that you guys are straight with English. You know, I haven't heard anybody here talking King James in a hallway ever. They never come and phone me and say, you know, how Taoists feel. You know, nobody ever asked me that, but they always tell me that King James is the only one that Jesus used. And the apostles. Some guy said that, well, I like the King James because it's the only scriptures that the Apostle Paul used. Well, the King James never was written till the 1800s. And God is much older than the 1800s. Well, it's one of the best translations for sure. But let's not kid ourselves here. Now, David was asking himself this question. And he was in a certain evaluating situation in his life. He was talking to himself, meditating. He was talking about how he felt. I don't know if you ever get up some morning, and I don't know, like I've asked myself some questions. I said, you know, how come I'm so upset? Why do I feel funny or something? I don't understand what I'm feeling. Sometimes it has to do with what I've been eating. Maybe I ate too much pizza that night. Onions or something upsetting me. It could be something you've eaten because it brings you down. It's not all spiritual. Or maybe because you watched a bad movie yesterday. Too much Netflix. Too much coffee, whatever it is. But sometimes, you know, you have to ask yourself these things. So, and certainly David was. You know, David himself had questions. Just like you and I would have questions about why am I disappointed about the situation that I'm facing. Or that has happened. For instance, David had these problems. He struggled with getting on the throne. Saul was there preventing him from getting to the throne. In fact, trying to kill him when he, you know, trying to persecute him when he was trying to get somewhere, and he's trying to do the best thing he could to help the people of God. Sometimes yourself, maybe somebody who is a Christian who is preventing you from entering in where you should be. That can happen. But God sees it. So David was having trouble with Saul because Saul was preventing him. He had of course, David, you know, he committed adultery, had this man killed, and he started, living with this woman and married her later on. But he had a child with this woman. You remember her name? Her name was Bathsheba. Bathsheba is her name. And she had this child, and this child died. And so he was so disappointed. What happened? God says the child's going to die, and he was so had a hard time. And then he had another situation where his son that he loved so much, that he loved so much, this young man, and what's his name again, this young man? Absalom. Remember, how many remember Absalom? My wife, I said, we should have called, our dog Absalom. She said, no, don't call him Absalom. It's like calling somebody Judas. You don't want to be remembered like Judas. But anyway, whatever. And where was it going to go? Talk about? Well, he had this son, Absalom. So this son turns on him and tried to take over his dad's business. Take over, If you ever had a situation where somebody turned his back on you and tried to steal what belongs to you, that's a major disappointment. Particularly somebody who you loved and cared for and took care of them. You know, when you, any parent could think about this, you raise a child, you feed them, you give them clothes, you did all these wonderful things for them, and then they turn their back on you when they're 17. And they don't want you anymore. And they turn their back and they say, yeah, God, Dad, just give me the car. And then your heart breaks. You say, yeah, okay, here's the car. And everybody had those situations. And David here had a major disappointment here. He was working on some really hard stuff in his life. So it's hard when we lose friends and relationships break or fall apart. We've all had breakup in life and some great loss. Something that's been dear to our heart has been lost, and we've become despondent, unresponsive to natural things in life. We don't want to even go out for a nice meal. Ernie, where are you? If he's despondent, I say, let's go for chicken. He's just sitting there like this. In normal times, he just, let's go. You just have to say KFC, and he just wakes up. If you live long enough, you will face many challenges. The scripture tells us from our Bibles, further down, you know, in this same chapter, Psalm 42, verse 10. The Common English Bible says, I will say to God, my solid rock, why have you forgotten me? Why do I walk around sad, oppressed by my enemies? My bones are crushed. My foes make fun of me, constantly questioning, where is your God now? I mean, this guy was really going through some hard times, going through a really difficult situation. He said in Psalm 42:11, the Common English Bible says, why ask myself, why are you so depressed? Why are you so upset on the inside? Hope in God, because I will again give him thanks. My saving presence, my God. You know, it's how we handle our problems. It's how we handle disappointments. When in a disappointment, we can either try to fix the problem ourselves, or we can ask for help. Some people try to do it all by themselves until they get exhausted, until they just come to the brink of exhaustion where you're just going to die. You're going to feel like you're going to die. And so, you know, you always know somebody who's willing to help you, especially if you haven't abused your support system that you've had in the past. Somebody's always there to help you out. You can always turn to God. He's the one who said, I will never leave you. He said, I'll give you strength. Here's what the 2 Corinthians 12 and 19, here's what Apostle Paul said. He said, but he said to me, Paul was talking to God, and Jesus responded to Paul. He said, take this away from me. Take this, thorn in the flesh. He talked about the thorn in the flesh there. The enemies was attacking him. And you know what? Some of you right now are going through the same thing, where a thorn in the flesh actually is symbolic of something really, messing with your life, a situation and people. Because it's always somebody that's messing with you, that's giving you trouble. And here was Paul. He's went through this hard time, and he asked God, please, God, take this, remove this away from me. And, of course, everybody has done the same thing. Lord, remove this or kill me right now. Take me home. He said, okay, I'll kill you. No, not right now, Lord. It's like I was thinking about that. Somebody was saying, you know, they're witnessing for Jesus, and they went around knocking on doors, going on the streets, asking people, you know, you want to go to heaven? You want to go to heaven? And one man responded, said, well, no, I don't want to go to heaven. He says, you mean to say you don't want to go to heaven? Well, he says, not now. I thought you mean you were going to go right now. I said, I want to hang around here for a bit. It's how we ask a question, right? You know, you don't want to go to heaven now. You want to pay off your car and get married and stuff. I don't know if the youth are here. Some of the youth are getting married in this house. And I'm sure they don't want Jesus to come now. I want my wedding night to come. I want to buy my house and have children. Nobody's laughing. Okay. But Paul said in 2 Corinthians 12:9, the Amplified, he says, but he has said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. And in parenthesis, it says, my loving kindness, my mercy are more than enough, always available, regardless of the situation. See, God, if you're going through a difficult time right now, God is available right now. He's available right now. I said, He's available right now. God is available right now. He will never leave you or disappoint you. So don't you go to bed at night in despondency. Learn to have expectation that I'm going to go through this trial. It's not going to always be the same. I wrote on my thing the other day, you know, joy comes. You might be surfing, but joy comes in the morning. There's going to be another morning when you're going to be singing a different song. What did David do during a stressful, disappointing time? Here's what happened. Let's go ahead and read 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 1 to 6. I'm reading Amplified. Let me just go ahead and read here. But it happened when David and his men came home to Ziklag. How many people like going home at night? How many people are going home tonight? Anybody going home? Okay, you're going home tonight. Or are you going somewhere else? So if you're going home tonight, I'm sure you have expectations of what's going to happen at home. You expect your home to be there, right? You expect, you know, your couch is going to be there. Your dog is going to welcome you. Or whoever's at home. You're going to go to your fridge, open it up, and hopefully you find some chicken, eggs, or whatever you eat at night. Or porridge that you cooked this morning that you put in the fridge. Amen. Some people, I like 3 days old porridge. There's nothing like tasting like 3 days old porridge. It tastes better as it ages. But it shouldn't be in the fridge. It should stay outside the fridge. And it tastes much better. I'm just messing with you. But anyway, you're going to go home tonight. You're going to go home tonight. And you expect certain things to be there. What if you go home and you find your bed is gone? Your favorite clothes are all gone. In fact, your dog ate all your shoes and ripped them to pieces. Wouldn't that be bad? Hey, guys, I'm having a great time. If anybody else is having a great time, I am. I'm having a great time. Anointing is on me. I feel really good. I'm sitting over there, I'm dancing, and the part of God's touching me, I'm laughing. And I turned to Dave, I thought he was going to go out. But he didn't jump in, he just kept us cool. Okay, let's go back to the story. 1 Samuel 30, we'll finish pretty soon here. 30 verse 1 to 6, Amplified. Now it happened when David and his men came home to Ziklag on the third day. They found that the Amalekites had made a raid on Negev, the south country, and on Ziklag, and had overthrown Ziklag and burned it with fire. And they had taken captive the women and all who were there, both small and great. They killed no one, but carried them off to be their slaves. And they went on their way when David and his men came to the town that was burned, and their wives and their sons and their daughters had been taken captive. Then David and the people who were with him raised their voices and wept until they were too exhausted to weep any longer. Now David's two wives had been captured, Ahinoam and the Jezreelite, and Abigail the widow of Nabal and the Carmelite, and further David was greatly distressed. Everybody say greatly distressed. Because the people spoke of stoning him. No, he lost everything, but the people who were, all his men, we said, let's kill this guy. Let's kill our boss. And if I came to this office and heard Pastor Steve and Ken say, let's go ahead and kill Roma, I'd be disappointed and scared too. And my wife is on top of it. She's in it. I mean, that'd be very disappointing, wouldn't it? Hey? Well, we're going to poison them first. Let's try this. Well, okay, so they're going to stone David. And he was greatly distressed. So David was greatly distressed because the people spoke of stoning him, for all of them were embittered, each man for his sons and daughters. But David felt strengthened and encouraged in the Lord. There's a point here, a real point in this situation, that during a real difficult time, as you can see reading this six verses, that something horrible happened to David. He lost his family, lost all his belongings, burned down his house, took away his kid. Now, not only his kid died, but they're going to be slaves. It's like coming home and finding your daughter gone, all drugged up somewhere, and he's captive to drug addiction. And you got no power. You're powerless to go and rescue that person from stuff like that. That's real despondency. And how you respond to situations is key. You can cry all night, but it's not going to stop. It's going to stop the enemy. Oh, okay, let's bring him back. They're crying. Let's take the devil. Said, let's bring them back. Give them back all their stuff. The devil doesn't care who you are, rich or poor, black or white. He don't care who you are. He's going to come and try to put cancer on you, take away your kids, kill everything you got, steal from you. He doesn't care. It's how you respond to life when bad things happen to you. Turn to God. I said, turn to God. The psalmist David said in Psalm 42 that he had hope in God. As long there's a God, that there's a God in heaven, we have hope. In 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 6, David took courage in his God. He had faith in his God that he would recover all his losses, and as he had expected, having hope in God means you have confident expectation in this great and awesome God that whatever you lost, you will recover. The story goes on to say David prayed and asked God for his wisdom and how to respond or how to proceed ahead with his disappointment. God gave him answers and told him that he would give him victory. It's good to know the word of God in times like this. It's good to know God and his character and how God will come up big for you when you're having times of trouble. He's able to recover all your losses. And he'll make the two points meet that did not meet before. Your future looks a whole lot better than your past. When you put your hope in God, things will always work out to your good. When you're walking in line with God's word and trying to serve him, sometimes sure you might have fell, but get right back up again. Somebody said, when you quit something, it's like it never happened. But if you pick yourself up, you're right where you should be again. The Apostle Paul said in Romans 8:28, we know that all things, everybody said all things. He said that all things work together for good to those who love God. Loving God means that you're doing what he said to do. You're loving God means you're practicing his word in your life. You're putting to practice whatever God's word is in your life that you found to be true. You're putting that to practice. Now, you might not be perfect in it, but you're putting it to practice. Loving God means that you're responding to the word and acting on the word of God. Loving God means, doesn't mean an emotional experience. I love God. Oh, I love God. That's not what it's talking about. It's talking about when you start acting like it's true. Acting like God will come in big for you. All things work together for good to those who love God. Those who are called according to his purposes. And we're called to his purposes, every one of us. In the midst of a very, very disappointing time, the Bible says that David was able to recover all his losses, everything he suffered, while he was serving God. You and I can claim recovery from all our losses, from all of our disappointments in this life, and we know for sure from Scripture that God will always make up the difference. Whatever you've lost, it says over here in 1 Samuel 30 and 18 and 19 as their close. So David recovered all that the Amalekites had taken. These Amalekites are like whatever you're facing right now, whatever enemy you're facing, whatever the devil stole from you. Maybe the devil stole from you time and valuable time and relationships, whatever. I mean, God, you have to trust God, believe in Him, believe in His word that's going to turn around. No matter how dismal it is, no matter how you feel, don't act on how you feel. I was talking to somebody today, and they said, you know, I've had all these bad things happen to me, oh, and so on. Like, I said, you know, first of all, let me ask you, tell you something. We don't walk by how we feel. We walk by faith. We walk by the Word of God. We let the Word of God determine what decisions we make next. If you act on how you feel, you wouldn't be here tonight. You'd be at home or doing something else. Because you trust God, you believe God. That's why you're here. You trust God. And you know the Word of God is going to be delivered tonight. And what I'm saying here is going to give you life. I can think about so many people that if they've taken this Word that I've preached here for 30 years, they'd be far ahead. Because Jesus said, anybody who builds this house, you can check this out, Matthew chapter 7, the latter verses of that that chapter. If you put your word, if you found your life, build a foundation of your life on the Word of God. When the storms of life comes, and it'll come to all of us, when the storms passes, when everybody else has failed, you'll be still standing. Let's go ahead and stand up. Praise God. Hallelujah. Let's lift our hands and thank God because He's a good God. Let's praise Him. Let's go ahead and say, oh God, I want to thank you that your word has lifted me up. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Your word has lifted me up again. I thank you, Father, for the Spirit of God in His place. I thank you for the Holy Ghost who lives inside of me, who I talk to every day, who I lift my troubles to. I know He's in me. I know He lives. He lives in me. He's my strength. He's my rock. Hallelujah. I will never fail because you will never fail me. You will never forsake me. I give you praise, Lord Jesus. I give you praise, God. You are awesome, almighty God. There's nobody like you, Lord. Just give Him praise today. Give Him thanks because His word is real. And you will recover your losses. Oh, don't be despondent. Don't despair because God is here. He's here. He's real. He lives inside of you. He's there for you. He'll never forsake you. He'll never leave you. Lord, we cast every care, every hurt that we have, every disappointment we've had. Lord, I'm casting it on you right now. And yes, when I've thought about those hurts, when I thought about the situation, yes, I do feel something. I feel bad. There's times I felt sorry for myself. Why did that happen to me? And my soul is talking to me. But I will talk to my soul from my spirit and say, God will never forsake you. God will never leave you. I tell my soul what to feel. I say, rise up, soul. Praise God. Put your hope in God. Put your faith in God. Thank you, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Say, thank God. My hope is in God. Say, I will recover all my losses. God will see to it because I'm putting my faith in God. Amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful evening.